Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. Since football season is definitely here, I thought I would start with just a couple of football stories this morning. The first is about a place kicker who was so angry with himself after missing a field goal that when he got to the sideline, he literally kicked himself. Yeah, he missed that too. The second story concerns a game between a traditional football powers, Michigan State and UCLA. The score was tied at 14 with only seconds left to play. Duffy Daugherty, Michigan State's coach, sent in place kicker Dave Kaiser, who booted a field goal that won the game. When Kaiser returned to the bench, Coach Daugherty said, "Nice going." Then Daugherty noted with some surprise, "But you didn't watch the ball after you kicked it." "That's right, Coach," Kaiser replied. "I was watching the referee instead to see how he'd signal it. I forgot my contact lenses. And to be honest with you, I couldn't see the goalposts at all." Now that's what every football team needs, a visually impaired field goal kicker. Newspaper columnist Neil Steinberg authored a book about pranks college students play. He tells about a prank that the students at Auburn once played on the football team from Georgia Tech. The year was 1896. The game was at Auburn. The Tech team was due to arrive by train. Prior to their arrival, Auburn students went down to the railway station and coated the tracks with grease. When the Georgia Tech team finally did arrive, it took their train 10 miles to come to a stop. The players then had to hike all that distance back to the field to play the game. Subsequently, Georgia Tech lost 45-0. What is interesting about sports, all sports really, is that there are some people who always cheer for the underdog. Have you ever noticed that? Honestly, cheering for the underdog is the surest way possible to make sure you're going to be just disappointed most of the time. I love what back in 1992, Orlando Magic general manager Pat Williams said about his team's record before they started winning games. Williams said, "We can't win at home. We can't win on the road. And as the general manager, I just can't figure out where else to play games." Coach Lou Holtz made a similar comment when he was coaching at South Carolina. He said, "Someone wrote a great football song for us that could be sung only after winning a game. But by the time we ended up winning a game, everybody had forgotten the words to the song." In every game, there is an underdog, a team that is overmatched, a team not expected to win. And many of us just can't help cheering for that underdog. Our scripture this morning suggests that Jesus knew what it was to be an underdog. Jesus was not expected to win. The writer of Matthew puts it this way, quoting two verses from Psalm 118. "Have you never read the scriptures?" he asked. "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And the Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Those words have brought inspiration to millions of believers through the ages. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Jesus knows what it is to be rejected. The stone the builders rejected. That's a clear reference to Christ. Jesus was rejected by his own people. And so Jesus knows what it is to battle overwhelming odds. He knows what it is to be disrespected, to be in great pain, and ultimately to confront death. Jesus knows what it is to be an underdog. Remember that the next time you're in a tight spot. Remember that when you're rejected, when you lose the big contract, when you get bad news from the doctor, even when the final door of death is closing in on you, Jesus has faced it all too. He knows what it means to be on the losing end. This is important. Sometimes all of us are underdogs. If you look at yourself as a top dog and you think you never will be on the losing side, just wait. Life happens, and all of us, sooner or later, will draw the short straw. Writer Philip Yancey tells a heartbreaking story about a European immigrant suffering from leukemia, who was telling Yancey and some other visitors about how lonely she was. The group asked if she had any family. She replied that her only son was trying to get an emergency leave from the Air Force in Germany so he could be with her. And her husband, they asked. She swallowed hard a few times and then said, "He came to see me just once. I was in the hospital. He brought me my bathrobe and a few things. The doctor stood in the hallway and told him about my leukemia." Her voice started to crack and she dabbed at her eyes before continuing. "My husband went home that night, packed up all of his things and left. I never saw him again." "How long have you been married?" Yancey was asked. And after a pause, she said, 37 years. 37 years of marriage, and her husband walks out on her when she contracts a fatal disease. Here's something that's really disturbing. Yancey notes that some researchers report a 70% breakup rate in marriages in which one of the partners has a terminal illness. In one group of 30 people which were studied, no marriages remained intact longer than 2 years after the diagnosis. Talk about kicking you when you're down. Life can sometimes be very, very cruel. There are times when all of us are underdogs. Few of us will go through our lives unscathed by disappointment, and sometimes in outright despair. It may be marital discord. It may be professional failure. It may be a physical impairment. And of course, all of us will die sooner or later from something. Life is hard. Most of us will cope with deep valleys that we encounter, and most of us will move on. But still, all of us will suffer a few body blows. I came across a story of C.D. Big Boy Blaylock, a boxer back in the 1930s. Blaylock once fought against an unnamed boxer from Mississippi. And the only reason we remember Big Boy is because of a dubious distinction that he earned in that boxing match in that fight. Big Boy was a powerful man with his devastating roundhouse swing. He decided to try this move against this boxer from Mississippi. Unfortunately, when Big Boy swung his famous roundhouse blow, at that very moment, his opponent stepped in too close. Big Boy's arm swung all the way around the man's head, and Big Boy ended up hitting himself in the face instead of his opponent. Big Boy fell back and was down for the count. Big Boy is the only boxer in the history of boxing known to have knocked himself out. Thankfully, most of us are not like Big Boy. We win a few in life, we lose a few, but we hang in there and we keep on fighting. But it can't be discouraging when we're on the downside of life. That's why it's important to know that Jesus not only was the underdog and understands what it is to lose, but that Jesus was also victorious and teaches us that we can be victorious too. Notice these words again. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. These are important words. Jesus is speaking to a crowd that included the scribes and Pharisees, the very religious establishment that would be responsible for his death on a cross. Jesus was rejected by the religious establishment and eventually by the crowds that had once hailed him. For the moment, those who persecuted Jesus looked like the winners. They had their way with him. They had him scourged. They whipped up the crowd to yell, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." They planted his cross in the ground and they hung him there naked in utter shame and humiliation. They won. At least that is how it would seem, but only for a while. I wonder, do you all remember the words to the Dallas Holmes song that was so popular back in the 1980s? "Go ahead, drive the nails in my hands. Laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see. 'Cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground." The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Jesus was saying to the scribes and the Pharisees that he was the stone that would be rejected. Their way, however, was fated to fail. They would reject him but he would become the cornerstone, a new approach to faith, to life, and to God. You need to understand about cornerstones. A cornerstone is everything when building a structure. The cornerstone is laid at the beginning, in the foundation. Everything is built upon the one cornerstone. If the cornerstone is straight and square, the rest of the building will be straight and square. Jesus, the stone that was rejected, became the cornerstone. He became our cornerstone, the most important stone in the new temple, which God alone was constructing, the most important cornerstone of our faith. The underdog became the victor. And so it is with everyone who follows Jesus. The Christian faith is a positive faith, a hopeful faith. It's a faith of overcoming obstacles, a faith of believing that no mountain is too high and no valley is too deep. As Rocky Balboa said in the last movie of the Rocky series, you, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and still keep moving forward. That's who we want to be, people who, by the grace of God, keep moving forward, regardless of what life may send our way. But it's not our strength that we conquer. It's not our strength with which we conquer. Hear these two verses from the Psalm again. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. It is the Lord who is our strength. It is God who gives us victory. Here is the good news for the day. If you trust in God, you will ultimately win with God. All of us, no matter how charmed our life has been until now, will sometime know what it is to be an underdog. At such times, it is good to know Jesus was an underdog too. Amen.